Good evening, everybody. Don Tony here, and Raw just went off the air. This is your Raw post-show, and then some. Interesting way to close out Raw tonight. Logan Paul versus Miz. WWE feels comfortable enough to have Logan Paul in the ring by himself. No tag team partner. Will someone end up being in the corner of Logan Paul? I think that is a strong possibility. But crowd, you know, I think they have to get used to Logan Paul a little bit. You know, just because you got 28 million Instagram subscribers doesn't mean it'll, you know, a boatload of them are wrestling fans. WWE fans, I think, need to get used to him a little bit. But we have a few things to get into. I tell you, I've been doing this for over 25 years, and I take pride in all of those 25 years when I always say, I don't want to be first, I want to be right. And one of the tricks of being right is not always having sources. But if you understand how business works, if you understand the corporate world, when you understand stockholders, when you understand advertisers, when you understand answering to higher authorities, you know, some of this is common knowledge, you know, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate things like this. You know, Lascelles sending 100 spots simply because on Saturday, we educated everyone about the truth behind WWE, PG, TV-14, what it was and what it wasn't. You could have saw this a mile away. And I had someone send me a really nice DM tonight, somebody who I really respect in wrestling, like, dude, nobody fucking ever gives you credit for over and over and over nailing this. And, you know, I want everybody to understand this. If you go online and you look at all of the wrestling news sources, you know, with the exception of maybe Conan's podcast and that Bill Bahati, which I know is, you know, not the nicest guy in the world out there, but, you know, if you look at the overall wrestling reporting world, it is one gigantic click. And you don't see anybody going against the grain. If somebody says that this is black, most of those people will not say, no, this is white. They will say, John Smith is reporting this is black. That's why you had no outrage about what went down tonight. I watched media outlets. I watched non-wrestling websites. I watched tons and tons of people. The PG era is dead. WWE going back to TV-14. No more hokey shit. They're going to go adult. Bring back a little attitude era. Add that edge to the programming. And I told you all on Saturday, I know people don't like the bragging stuff, but it's moments like this that make me very proud. And I'm being totally sincere. I'm not trying to be a dick right now. It makes me very proud to have you take your time to listen, enjoy, invest in what I say. Not only hear it, but you listen to it. You understand it. Anybody with half a brain would have understood that WWE would have to go to their investors, go to their advertisers, go to, you know, their board of directors, go to a lot of outlets out there that are politically correct, that are woke. You don't just change it to TV-14 without making any discussion or announcement about that. And I'm just watching person after person after person after person. And I'm like, oh, my God, these people are in for such a fucking rude awakening on Monday, July 18th, when that goddamn intro for Raw happens tonight, and you get this, PG. Remember I said Saturday, look, pay attention to the letters underneath the rating? it will give you an idea of what is in store for the night. It was PG all along. Now, for any of you out there that did not check out Saturday's edition of the Don Tony Show, that is one of the episodes you will remember for a long time, because everything we've been saying about the scenario with Edge came to roost tonight. And next week, the final Edge cryptic video should be Judgment Day on the screen. The only question is, will Edge join forces with Rey Mysterio at SummerSlam to take on the Judgment Day? Could that happen? Not only that, the PG rating, the Sasha Banks discussion. Oh, my God. I can't tell you how many emails and DMs I got in the last 36 hours about that discussion, that people honestly think that we are on to something, that Sasha Banks may just have the rest of 2022 off. And look, this is just discussion. It's not news. But when it comes to that PG stuff, and the best part of tonight, Titus O'Neil. I don't know if you tuned into Raw tonight, but he gave a pep talk speech about what WWE is and what it is not. And he talked about things that WWE does do on TV for your entertainment and what it does not do. As far as politics go, yeah, in private lives, Linda McMahon, Trump supporter, Vince McMahon, Trump supporter. What wrestlers do in their private lives, that is their private lives. As far as TV goes, from 8 to 11 or 8 to 10, a lot of those topics, stirring people up, rubbing people's faces in the mud, they don't do that. And I know for a lot of people, they don't like that. But what Titus O'Neil tonight, I don't know if you all realize it, that was reassurance to the advertisers, to the board of directors, to families, to networks, to the business world, for the entertainment world, for everyone that WWE's trying to rub elbows with, Major League Baseball, Fox, you know, other outlets, ESPN doing awards. Titus O'Neil's speech tonight was reassurance to all of those people that WWE is not changing. And that it was also a fuck you to every clickbaiter out there that for the last 5 days especially were trying to portray something about WWE that it was not. And as I always said to you, if you don't see it covered in the business world, and you see the business world only copying from wrestling news sites, take it with a grain of salt. Because if it's not the opposite, chances are it's wrong. And once again, they just reek their ugly heads. Clickbait. Now, you're going to see people tonight, oh, WWE postponed going TV 14. WWE intentionally waited to shoot down what was reported the last couple of days. Titus O'Neil's speech was a reassurance to everyone who does buy in to WWE. We're not changing. We are what we are. Period. What happens with TV 14? I'm not going to repeat everything that I talked about on Saturday. If you want to go check out Saturday's show, it is a must. It is a must for the Sasha Banks and the TV 14 stuff alone. It's a must. But I will say one thing now that I did say on Saturday. TV 14, it is, when you look back on it, when WWE does have some TV 14 on Raw, because they are, they will have some TV 14 down the line. And when they do, the two words that you're going to keep hearing over and over again is way overblown. TV 14 is wiggle room for WWE, especially at the 10 o'clock hour. They want to go a little extra vulgar, maybe go a little one step further with the adult humor that might be a little bit much for kids, but maybe for teenagers – That's their wiggle room. I gave a great example on Saturday, AEW Rampage Friday, which kind of sucked, to be honest with you. You go back and you watch AEW Rampage Friday. Please, I want you to tell me what part of AEW Rampage was TV-14 and not TV-PG. There was nothing on Rampage Friday that would not pass PG standards. The TV-14 is wiggle room, even for AEW. So again, you know, I'm not saying that people out there don't have sources, but it once again proves, hashtag, I don't want to be first, I want to be right. People want their names out there to stick in the annals of history. This person said it first. I did a little sausage on Saturday. I don't know if you caught the little Easter egg on my Twitter account. I was at an engagement party, and I posted a couple of pictures at the party. But right smack in the middle of it, I wrote, Sasha Banks, WrestleCade weekend. That's all I wrote. It's sausage. So if Sasha Banks is announced for WrestleCade weekend, do you think all these people out there are going to say, you know, Don Tony, he posted it back on July 16th. He was the one. No, I didn't post it because of that. But people are too concerned. And let me tell you something. I don't give a fuck if people give us credit or not. As long as you invest and enjoy what I do this for you. I don't do this for acknowledgement from those fucks out there. And a lot of them work their ass off. I have respect for a lot of them. But a lot of them don't have respect for me. They don't have respect for you. And every time they do a clickbait headline thumbnail with giant things that you know is not 100% sure, you know these people are trying to get your attention, read my article, listen to my podcast, watch my video, click on me. I need you to click on me. You have to click on me. And to make sure that you do click on me, I'm going to lie to you. I'm going to exaggerate to you. I'm going to post things on titles that aren't 100%. Even after we knew the night of Money in the Bank, I think it was, even though we knew that night that this was Edge and you saw the little Easter eggs, even last week, you have some of these places, hey, he's not alone. He's bringing Bray Wyatt with him. He's not alone. He's not alone. He's not, because if they just say, oh, it's Edge, 1,000 places have said the same thing. Why would you click on their stuff? And then to get around it, oh, Ric Flair is teasing that a WWE wrestler will fight him on his last ever match. So 6 hours before the announcement, instead of waiting 6 hours to find out who it is, you see these jerk-offs online. Five people who it could be in WWE. And you got Edge, you got Undertaker, you got Shawn Michaels, you got AJ Styles. And I'm like, oh, why don't you just fucking wait 6 hours and see who it actually is? And then you realize I watched this shit for nothing. And as long as you all keep investing in those people, do not get mad when shit like this happens over and over and over and over. So as far as WWE tonight, PG doesn't surprise me at all. And again, that Titus, I had someone that I guess wanted to debate me. I don't debate people unless it's people that I actually care about. But, you know, I wrote that online about the Titus O'Neil thing. This was not a rhetorical question. And the guy's like, no, it's not. Titus O'Neil came out there because of the Vince McMahon allegations. Oh, you're so cute. And because I thought it was funny what he said, he's like, oh, you're a great debater. I don't want to fucking debate you. You got a nice rack and I'm single? That's a different story. I don't want to debate you. I don't even know who the fuck you are. I don't give a shit about you. I give a shit about you. Not someone who doesn't follow the shows or follow me, that doesn't pay attention to me. I don't give a fuck about them. I give a fuck about all of you. Oh, you go to my Twitter, @DonTonyD. You'll see the Matarazzi. Somebody doesn't even know what the shows are. He's like, oh, your shows must be riveting. I didn't even answer him. I'm like, fuck you. You don't even tune into this stuff. If you tune into this stuff, I would have answered him. So let's talk a little bit about Raw. Oh, later on, we have to, well, I'm not laughing because of the giveaways. Tonight, we're going to give away the two Liv Morgan Money in the Bank signed photos. We're actually going to have two winners tonight from the wheel. So each one gets a photo. But we're definitely going to talk about the arrest of Michael Elgin, or the alleged arrest, because he is denying it. And we'll save that to the end of the show, because I don't know how many of you out there are actually going to be interested in this show, but there's two things about this that doesn't pass the Don Tony smell test. It doesn't. Michael Elgin, nothing against you personally, brother, but when you got to type four fucking pages to say to everyone that I didn't get arrested, I didn't do anything wrong, the more you type, the more you sound guilty. So, but we'll talk about Mr. Elgin a little bit later. All right. In no particular order, let's talk about the latest Edge cryptic video. Got another one tonight, and this one, a couple of more Easter eggs. I want to make it clear, just because they showed the Rey Mysterio mask, you know, that is not that Edge is disliking Rey Mysterio at the moment. This is about Edge's history. So I want to make that clear. Trust me, I think Edge has a lot of love for Eddie Guerrero. Edge has a lot of love for The Undertaker. Just because you're seeing people or, items, you know, to represent these people doesn't mean that Edge is looking out to get rid of all of them. So when you saw the mask tonight, that is Edge's history with Rey Mysterio. When you saw the Seth Rollins, him walking by and stepping on the photo of Seth Rollins, we just had that beautiful match that they had in Saudi Arabia. And they killed it that night. So that is why you saw the Seth Rollins. Hell, we even got a little quick screenshot of the Undertaker's urn. So all of these little teasers, and then the last one was him writing in blood, I am coming too. Where is two? Madison Square Garden? Or do we get the cryptic video of SummerSlam? That is the question. Now, if you have followed my scenario for the last 4 weeks, 4 weeks ago, I gave a scenario and it has not changed at all. 4 weeks ago, I said this is the return of Edge, and Edge could align himself with Rey Mysterio at SummerSlam to get revenge on Judgment Day. Now, if this scenario sticks, the cryptic video we see next week, that sentence with the blood will be completed. And we'll see if it says SummerSlam. I don't think it's going to say Clash at the Castle. That's an awful lot of blood to be spelling. Plus, it probably would take him 5 minutes to do unless it's already written. Could it be Raw? Yeah, it could be Raw. It's either Raw or SummerSlam, period. And the question is, do we see the Judgment Day as the last little clip on the cryptic video? Now, next week is the 20-year anniversary celebration of Rey Mysterio's WWE debut, July 25th, 2002, against Chavito, I believe. Next week in Madison Square. Now, remember, Madison Square Garden next week, the Mecca, where people in wrestling, it's their bucket list to perform at Madison Square Garden. So I think the chance of Edge appearing goes up a little bit next week, being Madison Square Garden. But in addition of the celebration for the Mysterios, you know, the Mysterios are going to be taking on the Judgment Day next week, Edge and Finn Balor. Now, if you missed Raw tonight, we had a little bit of progression in the storyline with regards to Judgment Day and Dominic Mysterio. And basically, to summarize it, is first, the Judgment Day, they boast about what happened last week. Damian Priest says that the only reason why they did not attack Dominic last week is because he is convinced that Dominic will join the Judgment Day. And he guaranteed that before tonight's Raw is over, Dominic will join the Judgment Day. And Damian Priest was right, sort of. Damian Priest had a match against Rey Mysterio. Finn Balor, towards the end of the match, tried to get involved. Dominic pulls him off of the mat. Finn Balor attacks Dominic a little bit, but ultimately Damian Priest, with the razor's edge on Rey, pins him. After the match is over, he attacks Rey. Finn Balor attacks Rey, and Rey is out. And they're setting up a concerto. And basically they told Dominic, if you don't join the Judgment Day, we're going to end your dad right now. So Dominic gets in the ring, and Dominic says, all right, I'll join the Judgment Day. And he joins. So Damian Priest looks at him, and he's like, oh, so now you want to join the Judgment Day. No, it doesn't work that way. And they lay out Dominic, and they lay out Rey. They ultimately get out of Dodge. But later on, and Corey Graves started it, and Damian Priest added to it later on, they said that, no, you were only going to join Judgment Day because you wanted to save your dad. No. If you want to join Judgment Day, you got to destroy your dad. Interesting twist. And Damian Priest and Finn Balor guarantee that next week the Mysterios are over. Now, the question is, do you think WWE would dare have Dominic turn on his father on the 20-year anniversary celebration? No. As much as it's tempting, I don't see that happening. I see next week being a legit celebration. If the scenario sticks of what we've been saying, what I think will happen is you'll have the Mysterios next week take on the Judgment Day. Towards the end of the match, something will show up on the Titantron, and it'll be the last cryptic video of Edge. And while they're in the ring, maybe even after the match is over, whatever it is, but while the Judgment Day are in the ring, that cryptic video is going to go on the Titantron, and it's going to be the final cryptic video, and you're going to see Judgment Day on that screen. You're going to see Finn Balor, Damian Priest, maybe with X's over them, whatever it is. And then you're going to see that last line filled. If it says Raw in blood, then Edge comes out and starts beating the shit out of Judgment Day on Raw. And that leads to SummerSlam. I think that makes more sense, because why would the Judgment Day agree to go to SummerSlam? Think about that for a minute. If Edge just says, I'm going to SummerSlam. In storyline, I know this is stupid, but you got to think about it. What if Judgment Day says, we don't have a match. Let's go out to TGI Fridays. You know, there's no guarantee that Judgment Day is going to be at SummerSlam. So it almost feels like Edge has to show up next week, attack, beat the shit out of Judgment Day. And then the Judgment Day later on, you know, want to get at Edge and Rey Mysterio. And then after SummerSlam, if you're going to have Dominic turn on Rey, he could go back and say, you chose Edge instead of your own flesh and blood to wrestle at SummerSlam, to get back at Judgment Day. They can always go back at that. So let's see what happens. Yeah, TGI Friday sounds pretty good right now. It does, actually. So 1 week we will know. Next week is the Raw go-home show before SummerSlam. But I liked it. I liked it. It leads into next week really, really nicely. Now, next week, also, Roman Reigns will be on Raw. Big deal, Madison Square Garden. Raw's going to be pretty loaded next week. And remember what I said about the TV 14 thing. You're going to see TV 14. You're going to see it more than anything, more towards hour threes. 10 p.m. on, where children are supposed to be in bed anyway. I know this is not 1959 anymore, but the idea is that, you know, the later the night goes, the more adult the content seems to get. I mean, you look at USA Network, sometimes we have Temptation Island. Sometimes didn't it air before Raw? So at 8 o'clock, you have TV 14 shit going on. So when you look down the line, I'm not saying we're not going to get no TV 14. We will get a little bit of it. And who knows? Maybe eventually a transition to TV 14. But remember what I said. In this billion-dollar, publicly traded company, you don't just start changing ratings for your product and you don't announce it to investors. Because believe me when I tell you, if the stock market thinks that they're going to lose a lot of advertisers because of it, that they're going to lose, you know, investors, that stock will plummet. That's, and you don't have to be a rocket science scientist to figure that one out. So expect, you know, and even when Pat McAfee cuts the promo, people are actually reporting that as news on Friday. Pat McAfee confirms TV 14. No, he hears what's going on in the news world and he brings it up because he's on the pulse of everything. He plays into it, you know. So just keep that open mind when you look at this and you won't get it wrong. You won't get it wrong. All right. Also tonight, we had this shit again. Now, the difference with tonight's match is the winner faces Becky Lynch at SummerSlam. Yes, you heard it correctly. Becky Lynch, as she quoted tonight with her outfit, the Steely Ginger Locomotive and Spectacles, and that's SB, Spectacles, like Becky, Spectacles. Say that fast 10 times. She comes out, you know, it almost looks like one of those pouches that you keep your baby in, but she cuts a promo that she's getting the title shot at SummerSlam, and she's going to face tonight the winner of Bianca Belair versus Carmella. You know, it was funny because I thought tonight we were ending a streak. Anyone in the chat know what streak was in jeopardy tonight going into the final 15 minutes of Raw? Anyone out there know what streak was on the line to close out Raw? I'm curious if anybody knows what streak I'm talking about. Big shout out to whoever gets it right first. So we'll let that simmer for a few seconds, see if anybody gets it. But they opened up with Carmella versus Becky Bianca again for the women's championship. Bianca defeating Carmella with the KOD, so Bianca will, in fact, defend her championship at SummerSlam against Becky Lynch. That was the match we've been talking about for weeks. And remember what we said last week. Remember we said last week that if WWE was smart, they would bring up the, 26 seconds again? Because it was SummerSlam of last year that Becky Lynch defeated Bianca and got that championship. So now, I think better late than never, but they tease tonight. You know, we might see a repeat Bianca losing her title in 26 seconds. That's not going to happen. You don't have anything to worry about. Jeff, you got it right, Jeff. I believe you're the first one. Women have been main eventing Raw for the last, 6 weeks? It's been well over a month. Every week, the final match on Raw has been women's matches. And I thought tonight it was coming to an end because they announced that 6-woman tag match at 10:40. And I'm like, there ain't no way this match is going 15 minutes. And I know we were having Miz and Logan Paul, but I thought there was a good chance we would get another match. Who the fuck would have ever thought we would end up getting 6 24/7 championship title changes tonight? And you know what? I'm getting that shit out of the way now because I'm starting to get gas just thinking about it. We had around 20 minutes to 11. It was supposed to be Asuka, Alexa Bliss, and Dana Brooke versus Doudrop, Nikki Ash, and Tamina. And the next thing you know, Tozawa beats Dana Brooke, and props to Corey Graves. Props. Because he threw it out there, and it's the first thing I thought about, and I saw some of you said it as well. Wait a minute. I thought whenever the 24/7 champion is involved in a regular match that the 24/7 rules are suspended until after the match is over. Maybe because the match didn't start yet? I just don't think so. But Tozawa pins Dana Brooke. He's the new 24/7 champion. Nikki Ash pins Tozawa. Alexa Bliss pins Nikki Ash, and I believe that's Alexa's first 24/7 title win. Doudrop pins Alexa Bliss. Tamina pins Doudrop. Dana Brooke pins Tamina. Dana gets out of Dodge. So the person who started with the 24/7 title ends with the 24/7 title, and the match is still on. The match is still on, even though people ran to the back. Asuka makes Nikki Ash tap out with the Asuka lock. Oh, thank God we got that shit out of the way quickly. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, how freaking over tonight was Theory as a heel? Let me tell you something. I've said this many times over the years. The what chance can be very annoying. After 20 years, you know, I'm going to be honest. A little guilty pleasure of mine, you know, there's a lot of snowflakes in wrestling today. You know, and look, I'm not trying to throw shade at Michael Elgin. But, you know, we've confronted this before. That a lot of people, you know, when times get a little bit, you know, sketchy for them, they'll throw the mental health claim out there. And then expecting everybody like, oh, you know, because honestly, look, you never know who the person on the opposite side is really battling mental health. But you know people out there use that shit for attention, for sympathy, for likes, to get out of trouble. I'll just say I'm in a really dark place right now, everyone. Please pray for me. Or I'm really, really sorry. I'm in a really dark place. Some people that get out of work, that get out of doing things, that are too lazy. I don't feel like doing a show today. Oh, let me just tweet. Look, it's a very bad mental health day for me. And for some people, it's true. And for some people out there, fuck you for using mental health to try to get shit on, you know, sympathy on your ass when you don't even have it. There are so many people that do that shit. And then you see them on their Facebook page a few minutes later talking about porn, talking about some hot piece of ass, talking about, I'm not saying that depressed people don't like ass, you know, men and women, but you see a completely different demeanor. It's almost like, hey, I got that shit out of the way. Okay, now I could party over here. So anyway, but I will admit, seeing some snowflakes in 2022 who really get rattled with the what chance, not going to lie, watching Brandi Rhodes back towards her final days in AEW getting melted in the ring, she didn't know what the fuck to do. Then you see some AEW wrestlers that they'll actually curse out the fans that are actually doing the what chance because they know that some of these whack jobs in the crowd also will be like, yeah, shut the fuck up before I go there and I make you shut up. And people are afraid. They're afraid to troll. I don't like trolling. And I don't like being trolled. But someone chanting what is not chanting the N-word and they're not chanting something sexist, homophobic. They're chanting what? Because they want to rattle you. You're a fucking heel. You're not entertaining me. You're not entertaining me. I don't like you. I want to fuck with you. If you're going to be a heel on TV, if you're going to put down the local town, if you're going to put down fans and say, oh, you ate too much, you fat this, you this, this, and that. Well, guess what? The only retaliation that we have is what? 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 We're not going to physically hit you. We're not going to throw things at you. We're not going to attack you in the parking lot, slash your tires. If you're going to be a character and put down the fans that want to retaliate, their only offense most of the time is what? 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 And I saw Theory tonight get what chance? Like, I haven't seen it in years. I mean, I have heard people get it. He got it tonight like no one I have seen in years. And I was entertained the fuck out of it. He, give him credit, ate it up, gave it back to the fans. He fed into it. And that guy, I think, was having the time of his life. He's like, these motherfuckers hate my guts. These motherfuckers don't want to stop. What? What? I loved it. I'm sick of the what chance. But sometimes, beautiful. You do it to a snowflake that could bash the crowd, but you give it back and they melt and they curse you out because you could tell when someone's just being a heel and you could tell when someone's being a snowflake. We're not going to name any names who are snowflakes, but you can figure those people out. Theory handled it. Yes, Rob, Theory handled it like a rock star tonight. And he did a great job. And AJ Styles, you know, AJ Styles said something tonight. Keep it in the back of your mind. I don't think it was a flub. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anyone? AJ Styles had a back-and-forth exchange with Theory before they had their match. We'll get to Ziggler in a minute. But, you know, Theory's making fun of AJ being a grizzled veteran, making fun of his background. How many hillbillies in Georgia did you have to beat up to become a WWE superstar? AJ is proud where he came from. But AJ Styles said something to Theory tonight that I took notice. He pointed to the briefcase. And he said, I'm going to make a guarantee. And he talked about maybe Theory wins the U.S. title back at SummerSlam, which he's not. That maybe he cashes in at SummerSlam, which he's not. But AJ Styles said, me and a lot of other people in that on that roster, in that locker room, are coming after that. Think about that for a minute. Why would you say that? When is the briefcase ever on the line? He told Theory, I'm coming after that. So when everybody says, when do you think Theory will cash it in? Theory may end up losing that briefcase to someone in a match. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. But why would a wrestler say, I'm coming after that? And Theory would be like, my briefcase is not on the line. What are you talking about? Keep that in the back of your mind. Just saying. Keep it in the back of your mind. So AJ Styles did have a match with Theory. Dolph Ziggler comes out once again. Dolph Ziggler, being a little neutral, didn't say anything tonight, but at one point during the match, Theory was outside the ring and he shoved Dolph Ziggler down. Big mistake. Because a few minutes later, Dolph Ziggler, with one of the best super kicks that I've seen in a long time, he connected with Theory, knocked his ass out. Theory could not respond to the 10 count. Theory is counted out. AJ Styles is the winner. After the match is over, AJ with the Styles clash on Theory. So I liked it, but I didn't, because when we had Miz TV with Logan Paul later on, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, why would AJ come out again? Like, they've been focusing a little too much on AJ Styles in Theory. Now, we just had this big program with Theory and AJ Styles on TV. Why would AJ Styles come out again to assist Logan Paul? It feels like they've moved on from AJ Styles and Miz. So when I saw this go down with AJ and Theory tonight, I said, oh, okay, this is going to be really interesting to see how they handle Miz and Logan Paul. And sure enough, we found out later on that Logan Paul will be taking on Miz one-on-one at SummerSlam. And again, you know that Ciampa is going to be in Miz's corner. We'll have some antics. We'll see if anybody comes out, you know, to assist Logan Paul. I mean, whoever it is will probably segue to, you know, Miz down the line. Who that person is, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not really thinking about it right now. Yeah, poor Ciampa. I agree with you, Mike. I think Ciampa is probably going to get embarrassed a little bit at SummerSlam. But, hey, you know, anything is better than nothing right now, in my opinion. So, all right. We had tonight also, I'm looking at the matches. Okay. We're just going through them briefly. Some of it's out of place, some of it's not. We had the Street Profits cut a promo about the match coming up. We talked Saturday about Jeff Jarrett being a special guest referee. I don't like it. It's funny because last Sunday, the Sunday before this past Sunday, we talked about the possibility of Jeff Jarrett or Jerry Lawler being a referee. I still think Sami Zayn gets involved. I still think Sami Zayn gets involved. And right now, my early thought is I think Street Profits may get these titles. The Usos, give them props, man. Ooh, that doesn't look good. That's better. 1 year ago yesterday, I believe, the Usos celebrate 1 year as in their current tag team championship reign. They haven't been undisputed, unified for a year, but they've been tag champs for 1 year straight. I think that streak is about to come to an end. Maybe I feel otherwise in 5 days, but I don't think so. So Street Profits cut a promo. They're interrupted by MVP and Omos. MVP's wearing a suit. He's jawjacking with the Street Profits. Street Profits say, hey, get your ass in the ring. MVP's like, I'm not dressed. How's about Angelo Dawkins versus Omos? So we get that later on. What happens? MVP interferes anyway. Angelo Dawkins wins by DQ. Adam Pearce comes out. Hold on. You interfered. We're going to do a tag match right now. But I'm not dressed. I'm in a suit. That's okay. So we have another match. And MVP doing pretty good for himself, but the Usos are at ringside. And the Usos would get involved. And we had an interesting moment during this match. This was not a minute into the match. This was late into the match. Montez Ford hits a frog splash on Omos. And Omos kicked out at one. And Montez Ford had this look of shock on his face. Like he just walked into his bedroom and saw, you know, two occupants in it. One that he probably is used to and one he's not. He had that crazy look on his face. He was shocked. Omos kicked out at one. But before we could even absorb that, the Usos interfere. Street Profits win by DQ. So this is to set up. Now, it's interesting that we're not getting any appearance by Jeff Jarrett. We didn't get one Friday. We didn't get one today. You would think enforcing a little bit of law and order beforehand. That's why I think Jeff Jarrett is going to get knocked out during that match. And I think Sami Zayn, who might be on commentary, just observing the match, or maybe he comes running down that rampway at SummerSlam. But, you know, Jeff Jarrett, you know, oh, and we got some Jarrett news later on. Woo! Give you a little hint. All right. Riddle versus Seth Rollins is official for SummerSlam. Today, Kevin Owens came back. We had the KO show. We had Riddle as a guest. And Kevin Owens says that he took some time off to get some inner peace, that he got obsessed with Elias and Ezekiel, Elrod, whoever. And he said that, you know, he's got some inner peace now. He's let that go. And he said while he was gone, he took more notice of Riddle, and he feels he should be more like Riddle. He's trying to get on Riddle's good side. He says that his best friend, Seth Rollins, betrayed him. And just like Riddle, who's he lost his best friend too. And KO offers himself to Riddle. He says, look, you lost your best friend. I lost my best friend. We could be bro KO. Bro KO. And the crowd likes it. Yeah, bro KO. Bro KO. And Riddle tells the crowd, hold on. You're a notorious liar, Kevin Owens, and stop putting down Randy. Kevin Owens continues, Randy Orton's a snake and this and that. And Riddle's like, stop talking about Randy like that. And here comes Seth Rollins. Lays out Riddle. Kevin Owens gets out of Dodge. It was interesting because Rollins like threw the chairs out, threw the Kevin Owens show sign out. So he wasn't like feeding into Kevin Owens all that much at all. But Seth Rollins lays out Riddle, and Rollins getting some major heel heat right now. Fans want to cheer Rollins. You know that. But not just yet. Then we had something stupid. It was just a really horrible exchange. Seth Rollins is in the back afterwards. He's being interviewed, and he's laughing about what he just did. And here comes Ezekiel. Ezekiel's like, who the hell you think you are? Curb stopping Riddle. It sounded so scripted and awful. And then Seth Rollins says, stay out of my business. And Ezekiel says, business is about to pick up. I wouldn't have even heard that corny, dumb, stupid-ass line in a C movie. Stay out of my business. Business is about to pick up. Oh, God. When Rollins started laughing, Seth, you were not the only one. And that's not Ezekiel's fault. Somebody in creative actually wrote that. It was fucking horrible. They had a good match, but in the end, Seth Rollins prevails. He prevails. So, I think that was it as far as matches with Raw. Now, two other things. First off, Veer Mahan. Veer Mahan shows up. Sarah Schreiber tries to interview him. He just looks at the camera. He looks at her. And he goes, boo! And he starts laughing. And he walks away. It was funny, but it was like, okay. She interviews Miz right afterwards. Miz, like, I think he likes you. Miz thinks that Logan Paul came to his senses. He's going to join up with the Miz. That's not the case. We get Miz TV. Logan Paul comes out. Mild reaction. Miz putting over Logan Paul a little bit. Logan Paul putting over Miz a little bit, but throwing shade. Miz shows the footage from WrestleMania, but they stop it before what Miz did to Logan Paul. Logan Paul wants Miz one-on-one at SummerSlam. Miz says, no, you're a rookie. I'm not having a one-on-one. So now Tiny Balls turned into, what were they tonight? Blueberry Balls? Did he call it Blueberry Balls? Someone in the chat. I know he said something extremely tiny. So he went from Tiny Balls to like little Blueberry Balls. And he gets the crowd to chant Tiny Balls and Tiny Balls. And that's the kryptonite. Is that Blueberry Balls? Okay, Blueberry Balls. So Miz pissed off. Don't talk about my balls. He's got a t-shirt now. Hello, I'm the Miz and my balls are awesome or gigantic or whatever. Huge. Huge. So Miz ultimately says to the crowd, you want Miz versus Logan Paul? You know how Miz could rile up the crowd? The crowd's like, yeah. It's like, you got it. And I think the crowd was like, wait, did we just like agree to this? Because the crowd's reaction was kind of mild afterwards. So Ciampa hits the ring, tries to attack Logan Paul. Logan Paul gets the upper hand, clotheslines Miz over the top rope, gets a little offense on Ciampa. And before Miz and Ciampa could double team Logan Paul, he gets out of Dodge, goes to the back. We still had about 2 minutes left on Raw, so they highlighted it. I think Shara Schreiber came into the ring a little bit, asking the Miz, you know, what just happened and everything, and set up their match at SummerSlam. That's how they went off the air. So, decent Raw. I liked it. It set up a few things for SummerSlam. Right now, SummerSlam, you know, we have 8 matches announced. I think that could go up to 10. I think it legitimately could go up to 10. We have Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, last man standing match for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship. Pat McAfee versus Happy Corbin. Bobby Lashley defending the United States Championship against Theory. The Usos defending the WWE Undisputed Tag Team titles against the Street Profits, Jeff Jarrett, special guest referee. Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Riddle versus Seth Rollins. Miz versus Logan Paul and Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship. So we are at 8 matches. I think that could go up to 10. We'll see what happens on SmackDown if we get any new matches. I'm hoping we get Gunther. I hope Gunther could stop that IC title streak. You know, cool to see Bobby Lashley defending, you know, his title. I'd like to see Gunther defend the Intercontinental title. All right, very quickly before we start wrapping up, actually before we do a prize, I wanted to make mention of this. I know she's not someone in wrestling, but I thought maybe you'd want to take a look. I know it's a little off-centered right now. That is Cindy Heenan, the wife, the widow of Bobby the Brain Heenan. She passed away today. So, you know, I know some people who are very close to that family were writing some very emotional things tonight that Bobby and his wife are finally back together again. So Cindy Heenan, you know, passed away today. My thoughts and prayers are with the whole Heenan family. So yesterday we paid a little tribute again for Daphne. Yesterday would have been her 47th birthday. If you go to my Twitter, at DonTonyD, there's a little cause that's up that Bailey made me and everyone else aware of about raising money for dogs who are assigned to people who are legitimately battling mental health and depression. So I still have about 16 of these brand new Daphne license plates that I have made up last year. I have them in gray and I have them in white. The tissue papers are still attached. And they're metal. They're metal. They're not cardboard. So go to my Twitter if you want to see how you could get one. And, you know, just thought about Daphne yesterday. So hope she's having fun up there. So, all right. Now we can give away these two Liv Morgan signed photos. Now, as far as the giveaway for tomorrow's NXT, I haven't thought of it yet. I have a couple of ideas on my mind. I will make the decision tomorrow. So I hope you could join me for the watch party tomorrow anyway. Tomorrow's NXT looks pretty good. The Dyad are going to remove those, whatever you want to call them. What about the hoods? The hoods. They look like purple Ku Klux Klan outfits. Just saying. They're going to remove their hoods. We're going to get a 20-woman battle royal tomorrow. And the winner's going to be facing Mandy Rose down the line for the women's championship. Briggs and Jensen are defending the NXT UK titles against Pretty Deadly. You know what we think is going to happen there. Axiom, the former A-Kid, is going to make his debut on NXT. JD McDonagh, the former Jordan Devlin, is going to take on Cameron Grimes. And then we'll have the continuation of the feud with Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. I want to send an apology to Steve Joseph. I didn't see this come in yesterday. He had asked me the question, who do I think should win the feud between Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez? And honestly, I think Roxanne Perez will end up on top on this feud. The interesting thing about it is they're still tag team champions. And just because they're foes, they may be forced to defend those titles anyway. So I think in the end, Roxanne Perez will end up the winner of this feud. But I can't wait to see what Cora Jade, how she changes her outfits. I've talked about it last week. I've heard a couple of things being thrown around. And my, oh my, if she pulls off what she's going to do, you got a lot of people. If they weren't infatuated with Cora Jade before, they will be infatuated with her now. If she wears, yeah, look, it's WWE programming. Even if NXT was TV program 14, she ain't coming out with what you think. But if she changes her do and changes a little bit, she's unrecognizable. I don't know. Again, I said the other day, I don't know if you've ever seen her Instagram. Go check out some of her photos there. So another super chat that came in from King of Games. He enjoyed the Goldberg documentary. Really thinks he gets a bad rap. He's got to tell his story. Look, I talked about it yesterday on the sit down. By the way, great show with everybody last night. You know, what would have happened if Goldberg would have left WCW when it closed down in 2001? What would have happened if Goldberg was undefeated up until WCW's closing? At that time, a lot of people that did not grow up during the Monday Night Wars will never understand the phenomenon that was Goldberg. You can't watch videos later on and try to understand it. The feeling in the air, how you just look at the crowd and see how people lost their shit when he would just hit someone with a spear. I mean, you don't think that we've seen wrestlers after wrestlers hit people with spears back in the day? It just, the adrenaline was like no other. And especially since he was not a WWE guy and not a cartoon guy or not someone that is well known. He was a phenomenon. He was an unknown. They knew about his football career, and he was a man of very few words. And I do think Goldberg gets a bad rap sometimes because, you know, it's the promoters that decide to have Goldberg win and win the way he does, whether it's against The Fiend or against someone else. You know, we take it out on Goldberg, but in all actuality, we should take it out on the promoters, the companies that say, you're going to beat him in 30 seconds, or you're going to beat someone in 3 minutes, or you're going to win this championship. You know, people, I think, really give him a bad, you know, rap with that. So, look, I'm a Goldberg fan. I will always be a Goldberg fan. I'm not going to lie. I hated when he beat The Fiend, and there's times in recent years that I have not liked the decision-making with Goldberg. But I can't criticize him for what he was, because pro wrestling, you have wrestlers that are larger-than-life superheroes, and then you have wrestlers who create art in the ring. You see CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Bret Hart, and others, FTR today, and others. There's some people that make some beautiful art in the ring. But, you know, wrestling is not only about what Cornette likes. And it's not only what your pro wrestling guerrilla fans like. You know, you have to respect the people that do like. I like storyline. I am a storyline guy. Give me a great storyline. I don't give a shit if somebody has a three-star match. Give me a good storyline, and I'm fine with, you know, not the greatest arsenal out there. I don't need to see Flippy in 2.5 counts 35 times in a match to, you know, think it's awesome. Everybody's different. Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn. Fucking, I watched it the other day, and I enjoyed the shit out of it. I know some people cringe at that. You know, wrestling is big enough to have a little bit for everybody. So, as long as Joey Ryan's not around. All right, let's give away these two photos. Now, how I'm going to do this is the first photo. That's prize one. That's prize two. So the first spin is going to be for the photo on the left with Liv holding the briefcase up in the air. And the second winner will get the close-up shot of Liv Morgan. These are everybody who were not only at the watch party Friday, but also interacted. Not you don't have to talk with voice, and you don't have to have video, but you have to talk a little bit, chat, you know, type something. Some people show up and then don't even write hello. Those, you're not ever going to be on the wheel. So, you know, the idea of the watch party is for everybody to get together, enjoy a little wrestling. And even if you live overseas, if your TV provider is not available, watch the show on your TV and hang out in the chat room. Few people do that. All right, so let's pick two winners. All right, let's go to the wheel. Let's spin it for the first one. So this is for this. That's the first prize we're going to spin. All right, good luck. Take a sip of my drink. All right, who's going to win? Somebody in the United States, so I have to pay shipping. Mike from New York. Ho-ho! Maybe I can hand deliver it to you. Probably not. Mike from New York, congratulations, my friend. You get the first Liv Morgan signed photo. Let's spin the wheel one more time. Now, Mike, with all due respect, if it lands on you again, I got to spin it again. We want to give it to two different people. We want to increase the prizes so you have two chances to win. So, all right. Who's going to be the second winner? This is for the close-up of Liv Morgan with the briefcase. It is Kevin from Milwaukee. Kevin from Milwaukee. Congrats, Kevin from Milwaukee. So Kevin gets the other photo. So you can DM me either on Twitter or you can email me, dontony@dontony.com. I will get your photos out by the end of the week. I ship once a week now. And the reason why is because somebody could win more than one prize in a week because we have more than one watch party, and it's easy if I ship everything at one time. So, Psycho, it's not rigged. I do it live on the show. Rigged. And look, if you all want to be on these giveaways, stop by during the watch party. It doesn't cost none. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. All right. Let's talk briefly about Ric Flair. We got word yesterday that Conrad did something very interesting, and I gave props to Conrad yesterday. And they announced that not only are we going to find out who Ric Flair's opponent is going to be, they also wrote opponents. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Because when we always think about someone's retirement match, oh, who's his opponent going to be? They actually wrote opponents. It could be one or plural. I'm like, that was very smart. And we found out today who is going to be involved in Ric Flair's match. And I think this is very, very smart. Very smart. I don't care what Ric Flair told us, that 900 doctors cleared him, or one doctor cleared him, or he's 90% of what he used to be, or he's better than what he was in 2001, or what. But I don't give a shit what he is. The bottom line is, he's a guy in almost 80 years old with a pacemaker, some massive heart issues, and that doesn't change. I don't care how good you feel. I don't care if you just ran a mile. You know, the facts are the facts. And, you know, I think he not only tries to convince us, I think he tries to convince himself. And what if What if Ric Flair gets injured? We don't want to think about the worst, but what if Ric Flair gets a little injury? What if he really gets blown up during a match? It's not just the cardio. It's the adrenaline, the emotion. Ric Flair knows at this point, that's it. That's it. Definitely nothing else. No more matches. So that could get the best of Ric Flair. So the match is going to be Andrade, his son-in-law, teaming up with Ric Flair. They're going to take on Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Now, I know what a lot of you are going to say. Why is Karen Jarrett in the corner in this match? I mean, you know, when she was in TNA, it was like, why the fuck is she always on my TV screen? Like, I have nothing against her personally, and she's been there by Jeff Jarrett's side, so I have a lot of respect for her. But you say to yourself, is she really needed in this? I wonder if WWE would allow Charlotte Flair to show up and in case Karen Jarrett tries to interfere. I wonder if Charlotte Flair shows some female out there. Maybe it's Baby Doll. Maybe it's Fifi. You know, somebody out there is going to get into it with Karen Jarrett. I expect Karen Jarrett to interfere in this match. I expect another female to come out, maybe a little bit of a cat fight or something. I think that's the only reason why she is even being shown in this. Ric Flair and Andrade, you know, there was a lot of rumors that that was going to happen in AAA. I don't know if you remember that. That was not too long ago. So I like this. You let Jay Lethal and Andrade get into it. You let Ric Flair have his moments with Jeff Jarrett. There'll be a lot of gaga. And look, Ric Flair does not have to do every one of his signature moves for this to be good. I think everybody agrees as long as Ric Flair gets through this match and does not, you know, look like he's taught. Look, from the video we saw of him working out with Jay Lethal, you know, it was pre-recorded, so you can edit it to make it look perfect. But he looked good enough that you know there's going to be some comedy with him and Jay Lethal. You know they're going to be exchanging woos. You know at the end everybody's going to hug. You know there's going to be a lot of tears. As we said yesterday, the over and under of people getting involved is 6. I think you're going to see, you know, some legends get involved at this. It's going to probably be a clusterfuck. But I look at it more of like going to an old-timers game with this match. And you got some legitimate people in this match now that can still go. And Jeff Jarrett can actually still do a little bit. He still works indies. So this was, I don't think he takes a guitar shot, Rams fan. I don't think Ric Flair takes a guitar shot. Maybe you see Karen Jarrett enter the ring with a guitar. And maybe, you know, like somebody holds like Ric Flair. And then, you know, maybe Jeff Jarrett holds Ric Flair. And Karen accidentally wails Jeff Jarrett with the guitar. I think we might see something like that. But very, very smart decision. I don't think Ric Flair should be embarrassed. I don't think he should be disappointed that this is a tag match. This is about having the match be as good as it can be. And if Jay Lethal and Andrade tear it up, and Ric Flair could just do a little bit, that's all you can ask for. So I feel a lot better about this match now. Now, Wednesday, we'll get into the current card because they do have 9 matches announced and they're not done. And the card, I got to be honest with you, is really freaking solid. And someone had asked in a Q&A last week, you know, if I had a choice of spending money on the Ric Flair retirement event or Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor, I chose the Ring of Honor. And after looking at all the matches on the card, I think you'll agree with me, too. So Wednesday, we'll get into the current card. We'll also do predictions Wednesday for Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor. I think the matches are decent. But again, I just can't financially get behind a promotion that has only had one event since April. And after this, there's no event scheduled. So Ring of Honor is only back in by name. And yes, the titles are on TV, but you could do that with any promotion. So, all right. Let's start bringing this home. First of all, few of you out there have been asking me, please, DT, go check out The Kiss with Chelsea Green and Mickie James on Impact. I saw it. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I think it was just two women having some fun. It looked attractive, but, you know, I don't think it gets the buzz. Maybe some of you out there who are gay that tune in, and I know there's quite a few of you, DM me. You don't have to write it public. DM me. I'm curious what you have to say about what I'm about to say. I think because they're two heterosexual women and one is married with children, Mickie James, and Chelsea Green just got married to Matt Cardona, that since they're not gay women, I don't think fans cared as much, that it was just something more. Look, over the years, we've seen male wrestlers who will force kiss a woman. Didn't we see Ric Flair? Didn't he try to kiss Becky Lynch not too long ago? So didn't he try to kiss somebody and they edited it out or something? We've seen that over the years. So now here's a woman doing it to another woman. I really didn't think it was that big of a deal. Yeah, Mike, they're not swingers. They're not swingers. So, all right. Let's talk briefly about Michael Elgin, then we'll get out of here. I'm just closing out some photos to make it a little easier. Oh, by the way, if you tune into yesterday's show, you can watch the video of me picking up the 94-year-old the other day. Looked and sounded just like Captain Lenny. It was creepy. It was scary shit. I had people who know Captain Lenny, they're like, oh my fucking God, that is weird. I picked up a total stranger off the street who needed a ride home. He couldn't walk anymore. It was heat stroke and everything else. I looked at him and he just looked and sounded like Captain Lenny. He's crazy. Liam, why do I say 94? Because if I play you the 5-minute unedited video, he says, I'm 94 years old. I can't walk. That's why. So I played the two minute version because I don't want anybody bored. And because if I don't splice up that Spank song, I'm going to get hit with copyright. So that's why. All right. Michael Elgin. A lot of you know who he is. He's had some issues in the past. Some really, really weird shit went down last week. And I tell you like it is. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Something doesn't sit well with me, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to try to make this as simple and as fun as it possibly could be. If you all ain't aware of it, it's been alleged, and some people have confirmed, that Michael Elgin was arrested in Japan for stealing protein powder. Protein powder. Now, I know protein powder is very expensive in these days. I bought egg protein powder a week ago, I paid $40 for a little bag like this on Amazon. So yes, it could be expensive. But this is just a weird situation. And, you know, the interesting thing about it, and I brought this up yesterday, nobody got upset when I said it, but this is not like, you know, stealing it in Texas or Florida where we could pull a police report or there'll be all these people verifying it. This is Japan. We don't have Qingming Ku on the sidelines like, hey, D'Antoni, he steal protein powder. No, there's no one in Japan that's going to acknowledge this. The media in Japan is not like what it is here today. You're not going to have some dumb schmuck. I want to be first. He steal protein powder. Japan doesn't do that shit. They get in trouble for that shit. So I think at the end of the day, Michael Elgin knows that no one in Japan is going to go, you liar, you liar. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But the story is, let me pull it up. The story is, now, think about what Pro Wrestling Noah did. This is why, with all due respect, Michael, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You say you didn't do it, okay. But let me tell you why this doesn't pass the D'Antoni smell test. He was supposed to wrestle for Pro Wrestling Noah last Sunday, July 10th. He's been on tour with the company, and he also held tag team championships. And he had the GHC tag titles with Masa Kidamaya. Kidamaya, I think that's how you pronounce his name. Before that event, Noah announced that Micah Elgin was absent. They pulled him off the card. They pulled him off the July 16th card. And they vacated the tag titles. That's an awful lot to do for a guy that says, I didn't steal anything. Why would you take him off of two shows and strip him of the tag titles if he did nothing? Like I wrote on social media earlier today, and I hashtagged both Noah's Japanese Twitter and their American Twitter. This guy didn't do it. Can you come out and clear this man's name? Why the fuck are they silent about it? Why can't Noah, instead of Bai Mutu Sebawoka's shirt, why can't you just write in a one-sentence statement, yes, we can confirm Micah Elgin was not arrested? Why is Noah silent about this? You know, that, I don't fucking understand that. I could go on Twitter right now and type something while we're live. Some people don't take a step back and think to themselves, like, why can't somebody, anybody from Noah, just go on Twitter for 5 seconds and say, Micah Elgin did not do anything? Instead, they keep silent. They let this sit and sit and sit and sit. That doesn't pass the smell test for yours truly. That's why, like I said last week, I know one doesn't have to do the other. But, you know, when you don't see Christy Hemme come out and say immediately, whoa, everybody, hold on. Hold your horses, John Silver. Hold your horses. I'm not the woman with Vince McMahon. Listen, stop mentioning my name. I have nothing to do with it. Why wouldn't Christy Hemme come out and clear her name if it wasn't her? Why would you let it sit there for 2-3 full weeks? And please don't give me the, well, people can't come out there and dispel everything. We're talking about Micah Elgin and Christy Hemme, who has not been relevant in a very long time. We're not talking about some major star of today. Rob wants me to do another Liv Morgan giveaway. That's up to everybody who usually attends. Chat room, should we do another Liv Morgan giveaway tomorrow? I can. I got 6 photos of each. We can do another giveaway tomorrow. That's up to all of you. Let me know. If you say yes, then we'll make Liv Morgan photos again. We'll do it again. If not, answer is no. All right. Let me continue with Micah Elgin for a second. Micah Elgin issued a statement. I'm going to show you the statement. Now, I'm not going to read every fucking word because we're going 90 minutes today and we're already at 74 minutes. I'm not spending 20 minutes reading his shit. But I will say this. If the guy didn't do it and it's all bullshit, I would go out there, 2 sentences. Listen, everybody, I don't know what you're reading, but none of it's true. In fact, I'm in Canada right now at a funeral. Done. But let me show you what he wrote. I've made it to Atlanta on layover, then over to St. Louis tomorrow, and after seeing Jacksonville, I'll be headed to Canada, blah, 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 blah. Unfortunately, false news has hit Facebook, and I've seen friends post it. I've been asked to keep details minimum. If nothing happened, Michael, what details? Who told you to keep shit minimum? But I must clear some things up. First, I was not charged with anything. I did not steal fucking protein. Take notice. He doesn't say that he didn't steal anything. Why would somebody tell you to keep things quiet if you didn't do anything? Doesn't pass the smell test, Michael. Let's start with the protein claim. How can anyone read this and actually believe it's true? When I travel to Japan, I pack 1 large bag with all my supplements, blah, 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 blah. Now, people have said I was arrested and detained and could be facing 5 years in prison unless the deal was made. Well, this is not a shot at the wrestler who got caught with cannabis in Japan, Matt Sydal. But with the system works there, if you're arrested at a crime and he gives you all this education about the legal system in Japan, If the investigation you found guilty, you'll be detained for 2 additional months awaiting a trial where a deal could be made, and blah, blah, blah. You know an awful lot about the fucking legal system, Mr. Elgin. Now, I was questioned about an issue. This did make me unable to let Noah know that I could not appear on 7-9 and 7-10. You'd be questioned to be gone for 2 days. You know, something's weird here. The policy in Japan is that they take everything and they don't let you contact anyone unless asking for a lawyer. You don't get a phone call. You do not get any of your belongings. I was asked and answered about an issue, and then they looked into it, and I was told I'm free to go. Then I reached out to Noah, but unfortunately the fact that I missed 2 shows and didn't contact them was completely on me, and I understand why I was removed from the 16th. No officials talked to me. I, myself, and the police officer explained the reason I was questioned, as well as the fact that I did nothing wrong, but the damage of missing the shows was already done. You mean to tell me after Noah supposedly spoke to a police officer and they questioned you for something you didn't do and you were cleared, that Noah would say anyway, no, you strip titles. You no longer wrestle for us. Next week, no wrestle. No wrestle. Why wouldn't Noah say, look, everybody, you know, he didn't do anything. He was questioned for something he didn't do, and that's it. Why? Is their Twitter restricted to 9 characters? Anyway, he goes on and on and on. After the news of this, my aunt passed, and I'm in a bad spot mentally. By now, all this is confirmed stories circulate, and it's done harm to my mental state more. No one has asked me what happened prior to reporting. If they even took the time to look in how things happen in Japan, they would realize that I would still be in Japan in a jail cell somewhere had I committed any crime. So no, I did not steal protein. I did not steal anything. Okay. I was not deported, and I was not banned from Japan. I respect very little in this world more than the country and the culture of Japan. I would do nothing to respect that country. I hate to even have to explain myself, but the fact that people, and this goes on for another fucking page. You could pause it and read this later on. That's an awful lot for someone that says, look, I was questioned for something I didn't do. I was cleared a day later. Noah was being an asshole about it anyway, and now I'm home. No, but I have nothing against Noah officials, and I love Japan. Something does not pass the smell test here. Something is not right. You don't write 4 pages of shit. And again, why would Noah not just come out and clear this shit up? Hey, Michael Elgin, why don't you tweet and say, hey, Noah, could you clear my name for me? Can you confirm that you spoke to the police and I did? Who would tell you to keep things quiet? Did someone else steal something and you were with them? And you don't want to say anything because that person will get in trouble? Why would you be told to keep things quiet if there's nothing? Sorry. Just because I don't know how to fucking wrestle doesn't mean that I'm an idiot. You don't write 4 pages of stuff like that. If somebody said, hey, DT got arrested for stealing fucking keto supplements, and it didn't happen, and I go on Twitter and say, listen, I don't know who fucking wrote that. It's not true. 2 sentences out. This guy, this, that. Feel bad for me. My aunt died. I feel this. I'm under Japan. You know what's funny? You know why I don't feel sympathy for him? I'll tell you why. I don't have the picture here. But he actually posted a picture of him sitting in first class today on a plane. And he posted his food. He posted him watching it. And he actually had to tell us that he's in first class eating like a champ. You're rubbing it in our face, and then you look, I'm in a mental, fuck you, seriously. Nothing personal against this guy, but this, something doesn't smell right here. Something ain't right there. And I just can't buy that Noah would just pull him off the shows and not, like, apologize. Look, we want to apologize for Michael Elgin. We removed him from the shows. We stripped the title. I don't know. Something doesn't make sense. But of course, nobody's going to go that route because, you know, it's ruffles feathers. So, all right. One more thing tonight. Then we'll spend about 8 minutes with some quick questions. We'll get out of here. I'll be back here Wednesday after Dynamite. We got Fyter Fest 2. Fyter Fest Wednesday, we got Eddie Kingston and the Painmaker, Chris Jericho. They're going to have a barbed wire anywhere match. with the Jericho Appreciation Society suspended in a cage. Why is Eddie Kingston's clan not in a cage? Darby Allin versus Brody King. John Moxley and Wheeler Yuta. I almost said Wheeler Yuta. Wheeler Yuta versus the Best Friends. The Varsity Blondes versus Christian and Luchasaurus. Dante Martin versus Lee Moriarty. By the way, Rampage Friday did 435. SmackDown did 2,077,000. Last topic for tonight. Alberto El Patron. He's got this, you know, tour going on. That it's, I call it the desperation tour. He is so fucking desperate to be in a United States big time promotion. You know, he wants to be in a WWE Hall of Fame. He wants this. He wants that. He teases AEW. That man, unfortunately, Mr. Patron, we watched your relationship with Paige. There was a lot of stories being told about him. A lot of people forget about the cell phone incident, the alleged stabbing that he's never talked about. Then we think about what the accusations were with the other woman, that she had shit shoved in her mouth and this, this, and that, and she apologized for her actions. You know, we don't know. And then, you know, you hear things about him with, you know, recreational items. A lot of people don't like Mr. Patron. But I think what hurts him even more is he tries to portray that, you know, he is in demand and he is being discussed. And yeah, he talks to SportsKeeda. You know, all these places, with all due respect, SportsKeeda, Busted Open, everywhere else, they're not going to hit the hard-nosed questions because they want the people to return. If they hit someone with a really good question, that person doesn't return, they lose an opportunity. So I get why they have to do what they do. I'm not shitting on them. But SportsKeeda interviews Alberto El Patron, and he claims that his name has been mentioned as someone who might appear in the 2023 Royal Rumble. He says, WWE has thrown my name out there. I know they've been talking about me, and they said, hey, what if? Let's please stop with what if, what if. What people need to be saying is, Jesus Christ, look at this guy. He got screwed. This motherfucker with this desperation tour. I have nothing against, well, I do have something against the man personally. He looks like he comes across as this woman abuser who is abused in the past more than just recreational items. Maybe he's cleaned himself up. I think more people would respect him if he said, look, I used to have a drug problem. I used to be a little bit, you know, because of the drugs, I used to be a little bit, you know, questionable or a little bit nasty with my relationships. Remember, it was only a year and a half ago where he threatened blackmail on Paige. Do not mention my name, otherwise I'm going to expose this or expose that. I don't think a lot of people like this guy. And I honestly, could I see him appear in the Royal Rumble? Absolutely. The guy could wrestle. I'm not taking anything away with Alberto El Patron, Alberto Del Rio's wrestling ability. They're back once upon a time. I used to defend that motherfucker. I used to have debates with Kevin Castle about Alberto. I used to be a big fan of Alberto. But the man that I've seen over the years, there's an old saying, if it looks like a rat, sounds like a rat, smells like a rat, it's probably a rat. And I'm sorry, you know, when he did that to Paige a year and a half ago, she's got a new relationship, she's got this, she's got that going on. Oh, don't mention my name, I'm going to do this. I will expose you for what you are. No, fuck you. The only Royal Rumble you should be in is for Texas, you know, ribs and wrestling with fucking five people in attendance with a fucking bull, mechanical bull in the background. Just my opinion. A lot of people forget about those things. All right. We only got a couple of minutes left. If anybody has any major questions you need me to answer quickly, we'll do like a couple of quick rapid fires, and I'm getting out of here. So if you want to see something funny, I can't play the clips. I do have some, what do they call it? At the end, you know, when you make, you know, when you film, like, I'm drawing a blank. When you film thing, oh, bloopers. I filmed a bunch of commercials today for Pro Wrestling TV, and I have a big meeting on Thursday. Someone wants me to sponsor them. It's supposed to be a big deal. Keep your fingers crossed. But I had to record commercials today. So they told me what they wanted me to say. And they're like, look, if you want to add anything to it, yeah. So I took a bottle of wine out, and I opened it up, and I did a whole bunch, and I'm drinking wine, and I'm this and that. The problem is I did 14 takes. I sent them all 14 takes. And after about 15, 20 minutes of recording commercials, I'm like, Pro Wrestling TV. And I took a picture, and I hit a snapshot. In fact, this is earlier. Here, I'll show you really quick. This is one screenshot from earlier. I took a picture tonight. Where are you? Here you are. Here you are. Okay. This is from earlier today. You could see I'm still wearing the same shirt. That's from earlier today. I was drinking wine doing commercials. Soon as I finished and posted the picture, I dropped my glass of wine on the floor over here. There was broken glass and red wine everywhere. Well, no, this is a clean roll of paper towels, but I shot video and showed everyone. I'm like, look what just happened. I dropped, there was broken glass and wine everywhere in this room. So if you want to see it, go to my Twitter, at DonTonyD. The video is up there. So, all right. Do I have a health update on Rhea Ripley? Yes, I do, actually. It's not going to be the answer you're going to want, but it's the answer that I can give. Rhea Ripley, sometimes when you go for physicals, right? I'm going to say it like this. Sometimes when you go for physicals, you know, they will monitor you with cardio. They will want to check things out. You get a stress test done. You get things done. It doesn't necessarily mean that something is wrong. And look at me. I had the stress test done in December. Go back to my Twitter from December. What happened? They said, oh, we found something. And that was the night that Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page, I think, went the time limit draw. I was in the hotel room. I stood overnight in the hotel because St. Francis, my doctor said, you got to go to the hospital this week and get extra tests done. They thought something was up in my heart. Scared the shit out of me because of my dad. What happened to him? And it ended up being nothing. Ended up being nothing. So with Rhea Ripley, I'm not saying that it's nothing, but if she wants to come out and say exactly why she was wearing that little thing, she could come out and say it. But she will be back very, very shortly. From what I understand, they're keeping her off of SummerSlam because they want all the focus on Becky and Bianca right now. But shortly thereafter, you will see Rhea Ripley back. Nothing life-threatening, nothing that could jeopardize her career right now. But, you know, something that if she wants to really get into it, she will. But it's really, from what I was told, and I could be wrong. I could be wrong. From what I was told, she's okay. And honestly, that's the bottom line, as long as she's okay. Sam is asking me, what would a Japanese sound like? Well, you know, look, I when I do stuff like that, I get some people, oh, you're a fucking racist. But when I go like, hey, how you doing, Tony? Hey, Anthony, this is Tommy. I need you to fucking come down here. We got a major problem here. You know, what the fuck is wrong with you? Everybody's like, ah, ha, ha. But when I'm like, oh, you liar. Oh, you. People, I imitate how people sound to me. When someone with a southern accent, hi, Anthony, this is Calvin. I think your show sucks. I'd rather go suck monkey dick than check out your show. You know, I just imitate it. It's not based on racist. It's religion or nationality. It's how they sound to me, you know? Any health update on Big E? Yes, Gabriella. Yeah. Be worried. Be worried about Big E. I talked about this a week and a half ago. His bone is not calcifying, I think it is, as they hoped. They have to wait a year before they can determine what the next step is. The good news is he doesn't need surgery. surgery would have put a very serious damper on his career. Could put his career in jeopardy. His career is still in jeopardy. But right now, the good news is surgery is not needed. The bad news is that the bone is, you know, remember I said, you know, it's not like a science fiction where the bone is going to just suddenly like recreate itself. It's not like this Terminator. It's like, no, it's you can't force it. You can't speed it up. You could literally, he takes a lot of calcium. That does help. There's a few things that he's doing that could help it, but he's literally at the mercy of Mother Nature. So we pray, we hope a year from now we will have good progress, and we hope that man will be back in the ring. He did some work for WWE this week, and I believe he's going to be at SummerSlam evaluating some stars that they may sign, you know, stars of tomorrow. But it's definitely so. Listen, people out there like, oh, great news on Big E. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. You know, it's his career is in jeopardy. It's a very, very serious thing. And only time will tell. But I'm hoping that he gets back in the ring. Edge returning with Bray ain't happening. Not happening. Why? Why? I brought it up the other day. I showed you the graphic. Some AEW fan, oh, street fight, this or that. Because AEW, now everybody's got to go through the table. Everybody's got to use thumbtacks. Everybody's got to use chairs and this and that. Everybody's got to bleed. No. Edge has got to be his lonely person, lonesome person. You know, remember, he stabbed the fans in the back. He should come out, man on the desert island. I don't see Orton attacking Seth Rollins at Survivor Series, even though Seth Rollins said what he said. I don't think it makes sense. I think Randy Orton will be back. I still think we could very well see Randy Orton turn on Riddle. I think we may see a reuniting, maybe a hug, and then maybe Randy hits him with the RKO. What did I say after dropping that guy off that day? Watch the video. I said, you know, have a good day. He's like, God bless you. I said, you take care. Be well. Whatever I said. That was it. I didn't see him after that. What has Triple H done since he said I'm back? He's working in the offices. He's evaluating talent for tomorrow. He's in the NIL program. They're doing something big for SummerSlam. He's working in the offices. He's doing a lot. You know, it is a scaled back schedule because Triple H, it takes well over a year or two to even feel somewhat normal. You know, my father had almost the same exact surgery a year before him. My father still, when he goes to Home Depot, has to sometimes sit down in the middle of the place and just sit for a few minutes. He gets shortness of breath, gets very lightheaded, gets very dizzy. So Triple H, it's not just the physical part, it's stress. So he's really had to scale back a little bit. So when I was alone after I dropped off the guy, I could show you the footage. All I said was is that if that 94-year-old was a 20-year-old chick, wearing like some hot outfit or she was a nice I wouldn't have stopped the car because I would have just felt like this is like a bad like story waiting to be covered on ABC. Like guy picks up girl, thinks he's taking her home, gets jumped by five people and shit like that. I don't like picking up strangers. That guy I just felt bad for. Do I see an Alexa Bliss heel turn coming soon, Roderick? No. She has the Lily doll still to sell merch, make some money. She's got some cool t-shirts. No need to turn her heel. She's doing good. You know, she is a little bit on the sideline. You know, Alexa Bliss is not one of the most talented wrestlers on that roster. There are limitations with Alexa Bliss. But, you know, they will eventually, you know, amp it up for her a little bit. Right now, no. Sam had a heart attack in 2018. He knows exactly what I was talking about. Yeah. It's something that takes years to even feel some type of normalcy. That's why even with my wedding, I told my dad, I said, look, I'm taking care of everything. Yes, look, Sunday I went and got my tux. I got fitted for my tux. And I paid for my dad and my brother's tuxes also, because I don't even want my dad having to lay any money out. I just want him to go there, get measured, wear it, have a good time. VJ, very loaded question, considering that we're about to finish for tonight. Top five most recognizable wrestlers outside of wrestling. Actually, that's not a hard question. He says Hogan, Flair, Rock, Austin, Cena. I take Flair out of that equation. Wrestling fans, some non-wrestling fans would know who Ric Flair is, but a majority of people out there that never watched wrestling, they wouldn't know who Ric Flair is. It's not like he's been in tons and tons of movies like, hey, you know, the, you know, blah, 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 Transformers 9 featuring Ric Flair. You know, it's not like in a dirty old man like Jackass 5 and he's Dirty Grandpa or something. Ric Flair is not a household name outside of wrestling. So I would say Hogan, Rock, Austin, Cena. I don't know if I want to say Undertaker. Hogan, Rock, Austin, Cena. Boy, that's freaking hard. That is freaking hard. Jericho, believe me, if I went up to 50 elderly men and women right now and showed them a picture of Chris Jericho, they'd be like, who's that? I don't, Brock Lesnar, no. Batista, that's a good one. Definitely Batista. So many movies, Batista. Perfect answer, Batista. Macho Man has been deceased for quite some time. I think fans older people would still know who Macho Man is. But for today's day and age, Batista. Batista, for sure. Batista. That's a good one. That's a very good one. All right. We're a little over right now. Let's go 5 more minutes. Doesn't have to be exact. We could have 5 more minutes of fun. Good questions. I like questions where I know people will still continue to tune in, you know. So, yeah, let's go 5 more minutes. No update on Jeff Hardy's rental car. I tell you, man, I'm not kidding. You know what? Maybe Wednesday I'll show you some screenshots of the emails I've sent to Florida. I had to sign a paper how I was using this. I had to show ID. I had to, you know, do all these things. I sent it. No response. Shit, I got hit for jury duty here in New York. I emailed them twice saying, look, you know, can I get out of it? And I get no response either. Government sucks. No matter what state you live in, government sucks. Look, I even showed this. I don't know if you all saw this yesterday, but, you know, we know Ivana Trump died. My family got invited to the funeral. My father's going tomorrow. He asked me and my brother if we wanted to go. I'm like, I got to work. I can't go to that. But, you know, I posted it online. And I got about 15 really nasty emails. And I don't think any of them were from wrestling fans. They're like, fuck you and your family. The fact that you even got invited means that you fucking know Trump and fuck you. I just ignored it. Ignored it. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was the invite that my father got. Do I think MLW ever get a TV deal? Major TV deal? No. MLW tries. The problem is, as Jim Cornette and Brian Last have very professionally done, their contracts are shit. And MLW tries, they're like that out. You know what they're like? They're like the softball, like you're hanging out with a bunch of people at a park and you're going to have a softball game and there's like 30 people on the field and you pick like who's going to choose, like each side picks a person. And then after you pick like your 12 main guys on each team, there's like 4 or 5 people that are left over that you really don't fucking want on your team. But they're there and you got to include them, so you put them on the team anyway. That's what MLW is with wrestling, in my opinion. I wish they would take it to the next level, but there's a lot of, you know, and that lawsuit with WWE, I think is going to be the ultimate demise. WWE ain't settling out of court with MLW. Even if WWE is very smart with this one, their stance is, we don't give a fuck how much money we got to spend on this lawsuit. These motherfuckers are going to get shit. Dynell, what's going on? Do I think AJ Styles will have another WWE championship run before he is done with WWE? Yeah, I do. I do. Fans, they were really into AJ Styles tonight. And that's not out of the ordinary. AJ Styles will have another run. Once the unified titles are no longer unified, and we have two heavyweight champions again, that will be the better scenario for AJ Styles. I do not see him as a unified champion, but I do see him as a heavyweight champion once those titles are no longer unified. Will they pull Tammy out of the Hall of Fame? I don't know. I don't know. It's really, because look, man, the Tammy situation is such a hard topic to discuss because, you know, obviously she's got to pay for her actions, no question. You know, but alcohol is a disease. Addiction, alcohol, it's chemical, mental addiction. You see people who you care about, like Jeff Hardy and some others. You may have friends and relatives who battle it. Then you have people that you despise who battle it, you know, and then still drink and drive. And she's been given more opportunities than you can ask, more than any of us would have gotten. But the problem is alcoholism is a disease. And, you know, it's such a hard time, but she killed someone. I think if she's going to be pulled out of the Hall of Fame, I think it'll be after she is found guilty. Right now, she's trying to get a deal. Will they allow her to plead guilty to, you know, a lesser crime? I don't know. I don't know. But I don't know if they take her out of the Hall of Fame. I don't know. What's next for Ronda after she loses to Liv? No idea. I'd like to see Ronda Rousey turn heel, but Charlotte Flair is going to be coming back right around the corner. Might even happen at SummerSlam. Charlotte Flair is about to come back. So Ronda Rousey, you know, if she's a heel too, you know, you got two major heels on that roster with Liv Morgan as a champion. How does Liv survive that? Seriously, if you go to the next pay-per-view with Liv versus Charlotte versus Ronda, what do? You have Ronda and Charlotte beat the shit out of each other and then Liv sneaks a victory? You might be able to get away with that on one pay-per-view, but not on a lot. Same thing with Becky Lynch. No idea after SummerSlam with Becky Lynch, but I don't see Becky Lynch winning. In fact, it'd be interesting if they had Bianca beat her in 26 seconds or short amount of time. I think we will get a scare, though. I think Becky will roll up Bianca right at the beginning in a match and people are going to hold their breath. And you know the people on Twitter are going to over-exaggerate. Oh, my heart just stopped. You know, so we'll probably see that in the match. You know, afterwards, someone will probably laugh at Becky and then we'll see a feud continue. Maybe Bayley comes back. Maybe Bayley comes back on Raw. Maybe Naomi comes back. So there's a couple of things that could go down. And by the way, seriously, if you didn't check out this discussion the other day, this was so freaking solid. And could we bank on a 2023 return for Sasha Banks? I think it is very possible. It's not guaranteed, but that autograph signing she does for C2E2 is going to be really interesting because you know camera phones are going to be recording. You know she's going to be hit with that question 10,000 times. So let's see what kind of answer she gives. Zombies, happy six-month anniversary, my friend. This week marks the 10th anniversary of Raw 1000 and the start of Raw going 3 hours. It's been a long 10 years. I wish Raw would be 2 hours. I think within the next couple of years, I think Raw will go back to 2 hours. This is a lot. It's a lot. Obviously, when you have people like Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar filling up parts of SmackDown, and then you have Drew and some others that could hold ground as well, you know, you could get away with that. But on Raw, they need more players to get, you know, that kind of deal. I don't see it lasting more than a couple of years. you know, if the roster gets bigger, then maybe it sticks around. But 3 hours is a lot, man. I can't tell you how many times, like, I'm watching Raw and preparing for the show, and I look at the clock, I'm like, oh, my God, it's only 9:10. And I'm like, we still got almost 2 hours left to go. All right. Think I'm going to get out of here? No predictions yet for the WWE draft? Too early to tell. Way too early to tell. We got to get through Clash at the Castle. And as I said yesterday, they have sold 60,000 tickets. 60,000. Let that sink in for a minute. 60,000. Something big is happening at Clash at the Castle. Will Drew McIntyre possibly beat Roman? Too early to tell. Once we get through Clash at the Castle, we get closer to the draft, then we'll have a better idea as far as the direction that they're going. It's way too early to tell. Any predictions for SummerSlam? Well, we'll do predictions. I think I might bring back Saturday morning again. You know what's funny? If you go check out Pro Wrestling TV, the Breakfast with Blasi intro was edited out because of one thing that was said on the show. And they're like, you know, they asked me why I said it. And I told them. And it was no big deal. But the second intro we might have to use. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to post a poll tomorrow and you all vote if you want Saturday morning or Saturday night. If people really don't want a Saturday morning, then, you know, either I'll do a pre-recorded SummerSlam predictions. The problem is you really can't do predictions before Friday SmackDown next week because something could change right before SummerSlam. So you, what do we do? Do we do a live show next Friday after SummerSlam? That's a possibility. But as far as this Saturday goes, because SummerSlam is not this Saturday, it's next week. But as far as this Saturday goes, I'm going to post a poll and you all vote if you want Saturday morning to return this coming weekend or if you want Saturday night. So, all right, I'm going to jet out of here. We went quite a bit longer, but great night tonight as always. If you have any questions left over that you want me to answer, post it in the comment section. And, you know, if you saw earlier, I responded to quite a few. And I'm not done. I got more to get into. But it's getting a little late over here, so I'm going to get this show online, get me some sleep, and just thank you, as always, for the support. Post your feedback on the way out. If you enjoyed the show, hit the like button. If you know anyone that might like the channel, let them know about it. And I am out of here. Be well, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.